And this morning, as we open your word, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here to speak to us this morning. Lord, we pray that you will breathe a fresh word on our hearts this morning. And as we open up the idea of intercessory prayer, Lord, would you give us a new dimension of faith to believe that we could be someone that would step in on the behalf of another and speak life and speak wholeness and speak into a situation in a way that only you can, Lord. We thank you for you this morning and we pray for you this morning and we give your word its rightful place. We give it authority in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as I said, today I want to open up our next topic, and our next topic is intercession. And I was really playing around with this thought last night of going, okay, I've got this idea or this theme of faith that I want to bring out by way of introduction. Because I'm actually feeling that God wants to increase our faith this morning. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about intercessory prayer, if I'm thinking about praying for someone or stepping in on their behalf, there's certain times in my life where I say, oh God, I'm not the person to step in on that situation. Like God, you've really got to increase my faith to believe that you can actually intercede in that. So this morning, I just actually want to allow space for the Holy Spirit to move on our hearts to increase our faith. Because I have this sense that as we increase our faith or we enlarge our faith, it allows us to pray those bold, audacious prayers on the behalf of another. And you see, intercessory, petition prayer is actually bringing our petitions to Jesus. Whereas today we're going to be unpacking the idea of intercessory prayer is the prayer for the needs of others. So it's we are praying for the needs of others. And you see, I believe praying for others is an unselfish expression of love. And intercessory prayer reflects God's own character of our outworking that love and mercy that he has on another. You see, and I believe that God wants us to think like he does. And praying for others helps us to think beyond ourselves, to grow our compassion for others, and actually engage with the heartbeat of heaven. You see, so this morning I want to open up this topic, as I said, to actually allow the Holy Spirit to actually increase our faith, to increase our expectancy. You see, Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not yet seen. And so this morning I actually want us to be able to have this faith in our hearts, to be able to speak into a situation and speak into it so much that we are declaring a new reality because we know it's the heartbeat of God for that situation. And by declaring the new reality, we're allowing God to actually create the evidence of that new reality in that situation. You see, faith connects you and I from our current reality, our present position, to a new reality or a new hope that can only be found in God. And so as we discuss intercessory prayer or praying for the needs of others, is our faith is the thing that builds a bridge between where we currently sit and to where God's declaring for that person, for that situation, for that community, for that season. You know, and I've been enjoying the series so far, and I've actually, as I've sat back, I've actually been seeing, and maybe you have as well, is that there's this interconnectedness of the threads that we're unpacking each week. And as we discuss and unpack intercession, you'll actually find that there'll still be threads of adoration. You'll actually find that there'll still be threads of petition. And so it's not this isolated topics, but rather there's this interconnectedness from each topic and each deliberate session that we talk on. And as we enter this, I want to create this opportunity to faith to actually encourage us, our faith to enlarge us. Because you see, faith is actually the commodity that would allow us to step out into this from a known place into an unknown place. It's the greatest thing that, that God's bestowed upon us. You know, like he's dealt each of us a measure of faith. But it also says that you only need faith the size of a mustard seed to actually speak forth and say to that mountain, move, and it will move. So if you're like me and you sometimes go, okay, well, I can pray for that. You know, like, God, I can pray for that, but I can't pray for that. Like, I can't intercede for that. Like, I just don't have the faith to, I haven't seen. If that's you, let's allow faith to rise. And if you're a little bit like me at times, like there's times where I have to just say, God, no, enlarge my faith so that I can speak, I can intercede, I can step in so that I can actually believe for another. I can believe for another. So this morning, as we open up this idea, would you allow your faith to enlarge, your faith to increase? And then would you, when you are in that place, would you then be actually thinking about your neighbor, thinking about your friend, thinking about your community, and then speaking forth a new reality in that? So I want to look at two stories this morning, two incredible miracles that Jesus does. And as we look at these two incredible miracles, there's themes and there's elements that I want to unpack together. And as I unpack them together, your faith will be enlarged and you'll be able to pray those bold, audacious, intercessory prayers. And the first story this morning, it comes from Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. You see, don't you just love that response? Is that this centurion, he comes, he's got this need. He's believing for something. He's believing, and if you actually unpack it, he's actually believing for another's need. He's like the one that's stepping in the gap for someone else's need. And he's believing for Jesus to make another whole. And he responds, and Jesus responds, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to heal him. But then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. If I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes into another, come, and he comes, and my servants do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go on your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed from that same hour. So that his element of his faith has allowed him to come to a position where he has stepped in the gap for another, and he's believed that that other's reality is going to be changed, shifted, and he's going to be made whole. You see, what an incredible miracle. And then we're going to skip over to Matthew 15, another great miracle in verse 22. It says, behold, a woman of Canaan. It came from that region and cried out to Jesus saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed, but he answered her not a word. You see, there's this somewhat contrast in these two miracles, is that the centurion speaks and Jesus responds immediately. He says, I'm going to come to your house and your servant is going to be made whole. And then this mom, she comes along with the same desperation, but Jesus doesn't even answer her a word. You know, and as we look at those two stories, one thing I know about Jesus, he knows everything about us. He is mindful of us. And if the story doesn't seem fair or right, it's almost like this cringe-worthy moment, I suppose you could say. where Jesus has got this non-verbal at this situation. The centurion, I'm going to come immediately. And this lady, she doesn't even say a word. But what I love is Jesus knows that inside that lady's heart, he knows what's going on. He knows how persistent she's going to be. She knows how she's not going to let go until she sees that miracle for that little girl. There's something about when you and I have this heart. That's one of my themes, one of my points this morning. A heart of courage, a heart of persistence to keep coming back and crying out, petitioning or interceding, praying for another. And what one thing that was needed in that situation was that even in our lives, God can be feel like it can be silent at times. But silence is not a bad thing. It's just you've got to realize that God's still with you. And at the right time, at the appointed time, he's going to speak. But when there's silence, I've found that God continues to grow the inner person inside each of our lives. Develops us, grows us, increases us. Moving on, and he said, he answered her not a word. The disciples said, send her away. And Jesus said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and she worshipped him. She's going beyond just an ask, and now she positions her heart in a posture of adoration. A posture of worship, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered her, and he said to her, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answers her and says, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. You see, two totally different miracles. But this morning there's four elements that are found in both of these stories that relate around, firstly, allowing our faith to rise up in our heart to believe and intercede and pray for the needs of another. And I pray that as we unpack and we explore these four themes this morning, that you'll be empowered, you'll be encouraged to intercede on the behalf of your friend, your neighbor, your co-worker, your community, whatever it is that God's placed on your heart. You see, the first common element I see in these two accounts, in these stories, that they were both people and they both came and made a request of Jesus. See, this morning I pray that you'd never stop being a people that bring a request to Jesus. Don't stop. And as I know this about, he's all-knowing, yes. And God can do anything at any time. But more often than not, there's a time for you and I to bring our requests to him. And this morning we're actually talking about specifically the requests of another. And we bring those requests of another into the presence of God. And you and I, we're designed to ask God, because God can do anything. But more often than not, God moves upon you and I. And through our relationship with him, we make requests of him. We actually think about that situation like this morning. We're thinking about Robert. We're thinking about his situation and we're saying, that's not right, God. You want him to be in fullness. And so we're speaking into that situation. We're bringing that request to Jesus, knowing that when we bring that request to him, that we know God can do anything, but he likes to partner with you and I. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says it like this. It says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Let's not be ones that just sit back and say, someone else may ask. Let's not just sit back and go, no, there's someone, that's for them to intercede. Let's be ones that grab hold of it and go, they have not because we ask not. They have not because we ask not. Let's be ones that intercede and pray and bring our request to him, because we know that God's sitting there waiting in the heavenly places for you and I to ask for those right things. And when we come to him, Jesus is saying, hey, look, you don't have those things because you're not asking your Heavenly Father for those things. Now, there'll be some unpacking in the weeks to come of unanswered prayer. Okay, so I'm thankful that I'm not covering that today, because there are times where we bring our petitions on another and we go, God, why didn't you answer that? That's not today. But let's be ones that don't stop bringing our petitions, our requests to Him, because God can do anything. God can change a situation. God can change your heart. God can move on anything at any given moment. You see, our relationship with God is not based upon need or my need or anything like that. And it's not about that, but there's definitely at times we're designed to ask for those needs for ourselves, which Ash covered last week. But let's be ones that bring our requests into the presence of God on the behalf of others. You see, on behalf of others. We're designed to pray on behalf of somebody else. You see, I love the centurion. I love the mum. They come and they make this incredible, desperate plea. They ask of him. There's something powerful about that place where we step in, we pray on the behalf of another. You see, the prayer request that we make to God is a place where our humanity gets to connect with His divinity. And remember, as we're connecting with His divinity, there's this relationship, there's this partnership, there's this connection and union that is outworked. You see, these two individuals are doing all they can by coming and making that request. And I pray that you and I would not stop bringing our request to God. You see, and maybe you've prayed for something 1,000 times. This morning, would I encourage you to pray again? Maybe you haven't heard the voice of God come back and speak into that situation. You haven't had the answer you feel in that situation. Would you pray again? Would you be persistent? You see, I love this mom, even though this dialogue could seem rude on the outward, she just kept coming back. She just kept positioning her heart in a place of, well, even though you're not speaking to me, I'm still going to worship you. Even though I'm not seeing it come to pass, I'm still going to have this heart of adoration, and I'm going to bring my request on behalf of another over and over again until I see the answer outworked. You see, the second element, and this is going to seem really straightforward. The second element this morning that I find between these two miracles is that the person requiring the miracle was not even present. You see, as we intercede for another, they don't even need to be present. The servant was not there. The demon-possessed daughter was not there. But yet there was others that would come on behalf of the ones that they loved into the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, would you bring forth a miracle? You see, these could be sometimes called these non-contact miracles. I love the centurion where he says, hey, Jesus, well, I'm going to come back to your house. And the centurion stops and says, you don't need to come back to my home. You just need to say a word. Just speak a word. And out of both of these miracles, the common element, the common thread that was required is that the word, or him, all he was required to do was to speak a word. And there's such power in the Word of God. And I pray that you would allow the Word of God more than ever to be outworked or speak into your situation. Don't allow your past. Don't allow different situations. Would you allow the Word of God? There's something powerful about being into the Word of God. The centurion, he says, I just need you to speak a word. You see, your word is truth. Your word is life-giving. It's restoring. Just speak a word. You see, in John 1:1, the first verse I ever learned off by heart, I didn't learn John 3:16 first of all. John 1:1 says, in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God. I remember being a 12, 13-year-old kid being perplexed. Going, the Word was with, what's and my mind works. The Word was God. So way back in the beginning, we get this reference point of who Jesus really is that Jesus is the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and there is this interconnectedness between them. And this morning, maybe you just need God to speak a word on that situation, or you just need to allow God to deposit a word in your heart, allow faith to rise, and you speak a word into that situation. And as you do, as you intercede, it'll be outworked. So the people weren't even in the presence of Jesus. Is that Jesus spoke a word and the situation changed immediately. Would you and I, would we be ones that would put our trust and dependence upon the Word of God? Would you be in the Word? Would you allow God to speak a word over you? Would you allow God to speak a word over others through you? I don't need to come in and do this. Just His Word will change the situation. The third thing that I found, and there's a common element between these two accounts of the miracle, is that the prayer, or the intercessory prayer for the other, it came from a heart that had deep feeling and sincerity. And there's something certainly significant about this, is that they allowed their hearts to be so filled with compassion, so filled with faith, that they stepped into the gap and they prayed for another's need. Would you allow your heart to be moved? It moves so much that it requires, it demands that you would intercede. You know, Trevor always says that, God, show me through eyes with which I could manage or handle. Because sometimes if we see things through God's eyes in fullness, it would break our hearts. But would you allow your heart to be moved? Would you allow your heart to be filled with compassion for a situation? Would you not allow our own mindsets? Would you not allow our own history or thinking get in the way of interceding for another? Would you and I position ourselves in a position of compassion and enough faith to say, God, although it seems impossible, you can change that situation? And the fourth and final element this morning, and I want to camp here a little bit, is that they both believed in the bigness, in the greatness of Jesus. You see, and as I considered this thought about the centurion and about the mum, as they interceded on another, their request that they brought to Jesus is it wasn't based upon what they knew about themselves. It wasn't based upon their history. It wasn't based upon anything other than the fact that they knew the bigness of who Jesus was. They knew Him to be a miracle worker. You see, and so often if you can be like me, is you can walk around with your prayer meter in your back pocket and then your prayer meter will determine what I'm able to pray for and what I'm not able to pray for. And that's not for me, that one. Like you can probably still pray, but you kind of go, I don't really believe it because I don't know if it's, my prayer meter's just not, I don't know. I could be just talking to myself this morning. But we have this, well, I feel a prayer meter in our back pocket that determines what we will and we won't pray for. And it's based upon a range of different things. But if you're like me, you know you can and you can't. But would you, this morning, would you allow God to do a work with your prayer meter? Would you allow Him to in some ways, do a factory reset on your prayer meter? Because, you know, in the first week, it's like, why do we pray? Because it's God's heart that we would speak fullness. Why do we intercede on another? You know, because I know when I speak into that situation, God wants them to be in fullness and in wholeness, or God wants to change that situation. And as you do your small groups this week, you'll hear of different stories where groups of people, where individuals have prayed, have spoken into, have interceded, and the trajectory of history has changed because prayer is powerful. And we know that. We know prayer is powerful, but would we be ones that actually allow God to do a factory reset on our prayer meter to increase our faith, to speak into, to be bold, to be audacious, to step into the gap for another and know that God can do anything. Not based upon what we are, or not based upon our inadequacies, or not based upon what we feel, but rather just allowed to be based upon the bigness of who He is. You see, if you want to pray bold intercessory prayers that are audacious, life-giving, you just need to be reminded of the bigness of Jesus. You see, I know at times I can overcomplicate prayer. But the reality of the situation is that when I'm confident in the greatness, when I'm confident in the goodness of Jesus, I can pray for anything. You and I, we just need to see a bigger Jesus. A bigger Jesus. This morning, I'll get the team that are going to distribute the communion emblems. If we just do that right now. And this morning, around the communion table, I've got to finish this point about the bigness of Jesus. The bigness of Jesus. Because when we get a glimpse of just how big, how mighty, how great, and how much His heart desires everyone to be in fullness, to be in wholeness, we can be ones that would intercede. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to play a song in a moment. And as we play that song, would you spend some time just reflecting on the bigness of God? Just allowing His Holy Spirit to minister into your life, into your heart. Just to remind you of how big He is, how great He is, how mighty He is, how glorious He is. And would you just sit in the presence of just how wonderful He is for a moment? And then would you shift your thinking from how big He is, because I know that when we just worship Him and thank Him for how big He is, His Holy Spirit's going to speak into our heart. And when He speaks into our heart, it's going to be specific situations, I believe, this morning. And around the communion table, would we be interceding for others? Would we just allow God to speak into our heart, speak into our mind, speak into our other situations? God knows. Like there's people that you know at work that have got things happening that you can intercede on their behalf for. There's people in your family. There's situations happening with loved ones, in your community, in your friend circle. God's just going to place deliberate things this morning. You see, I love the story where in Matthew 16, Jesus, He asks this question to His disciples. He says, Who does the world say I am? You see, and they come back and they give all these opinions, all these voices that they've heard. But one thing I know about the world is the world will always diminish the greatness of Jesus. The world will never ever see the true nature of who He is. And so the world just had some guesses. He's like John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. You know, all incredible people. But the reality is they're no match on Jesus. And then Jesus, He comes back and He asks this question. And I'm sure He continues to ask each and every one of us the same question. He says this, He says, who do you say that I am? This morning as we begin this time of communion, who is Jesus to you? Who is He to you? How big is He? You see, no matter what you know someone else is going through, no matter what's happening in our community, no matter what's happening in a situation, would you allow a bigger Jesus to fill your heart this morning? You see, we need a bigger Jesus. See, the world is broken, the world is hurting, And you and I, we need a bigger Jesus. You see, who do you say he is? You see, this morning, would you spend some time just allowing God? And would you even answer that in your, who is he to you? Who is he to you? See, my prayer right now is that, thanks, Mel. My prayer right now is that as you see the bigness of Jesus, it's going to allow you to pray those bold, those audacious, those big prayers. See, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. Would you allow him to speak into your heart this morning? Thanks, Glenn. We might play that song.